Please turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, we read beginning at verse 16, God's word. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, we celebrate a wonderful milestone today, the anniversary of our church. But in celebrating a milestone of years gone by, I want you to think about the years that lie ahead of us and what it is that God wants us to do and how we may fulfill that task. And I think that our text this morning gives to us the clearest instruction in Scripture as to the purpose of the church, if not Trinity Presbyterian Church, to every church on the face of this earth. And they are the very famous words of Jesus called the Great Commission. They are his last words, his words of instruction, telling his disciples what they were to do with the rest of their lives just before he ascended into heaven. And they are words that will shape and instruct us as well. There are three things in the text that I want you to look at with me this morning, that Jesus has commissioned us to make disciples, that he has commissioned us to baptize, and he has commissioned us to teach. And those three points will form our outline this morning. First of all, then, the church is commissioned by the Lord to make disciples, and that's our commission as a church as well. It's a mandate by the Savior. He has given us his command. Some people have mentioned the Great Commission is not a great suggestion. The Great Commission is what Jesus has commanded his church to do. He is giving his disciples instruction as he is about to leave them. He is their leader. He is our leader today. He is the head of his church. And he commanded his disciples to make more disciples. He told them, "All authority is committed to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples." That was their assignment, and that is our assignment. I like to think of making disciples as joining the search and rescue squad. You've probably seen the programs on TV, or maybe at one point you were on the search and rescue or the volunteer fire department. Why do we have search and rescue squads? Well, there are people who get lost and they need someone to find them and they need someone to minister to them. Physically, we have medical departments that do that. We're a spiritual search and rescue squad. The Church of Jesus Christ has an assignment to find lost people, and our job is to tell them about the gospel. Now, our job is to tell them about the gospel. It's not for us to decide who God calls. Our job is to go, to disciple, to baptize, to teach, and to carry out that assignment by making disciples. What is a disciple? The word simply means a disciple is a learner, someone who learns. Each of us should call ourselves a disciple, a learner or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should continue to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. A learner, one who learns about Jesus, the Son of God, who came into this world, whose birth we celebrate this very month. He came to live and die in our place, that he might bear our punishment for our sin, that he might redeem a people for himself. That is the content that we need to know and the message about Jesus that we need to proclaim. We must reveal that message and its content to those that we meet as we declare to them the wonderful works of God. The gospel is not only about Jesus himself, the gospel is about us, our need. the human condition. We don't like to think about the human condition, and if we often think about sinners, which we call ourselves sometimes, we like to think that we're not as bad of a sinner as other people are. But the Bible tells us clearly that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all of humanity is lost in sin. And that's why the message of the gospel and about Jesus is so important. Jesus came to redeem fallen sinners with his death and by his life of obedience, so that they might be redeemed and saved by the power of his grace. And so we call people to become a follower and a learner, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the message of the gospel of the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. I always like to summarize the gospel in those two words, the doing and the dying, because first of all, it's easy to remember, but two words and what they indicate and what they stand for, doing and dying, comprise the message of the entire gospel. So you don't need to remember a lot, just two words. The doing is probably the one that you don't remember as much about as you do about the dying. We all know that Jesus came into this world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he do? He died on a cross. So we know the dying part pretty well. He died. He bore the wrath of God. He took our place. Isaiah the prophet predicted that in the 53rd chapter. God took our sin and laid our sin upon Jesus, and he bore the weight of the wrath of God upon our sin there on the cross of Calvary. Well, that's the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, what's this doing part, this word doing? Well, that means that when Jesus came as a human, he lived as a perfect, holy human being. He lived in the world in which we live, under the law of God, and he lived an absolutely perfect and holy life. He did not sin at all. He did that, or that is the word doing. And why do we need to emphasize the perfect, holy living and doing of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because he fulfilled, therefore, before the law of God, the perfect righteousness which he then in turn gives to us. And he puts his righteousness upon us, a righteousness of holiness before the law of God, a righteousness of doing what God commands, so that you may truthfully say that you have obeyed absolutely and without the least flaw the entire law of God. Now, how many of you would want to say that? Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, every one of you should say it, because it's not your righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus given to you that says you have obeyed the law of God. And so the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the dying, is so important. And together, those two words comprise the fullness of the gospel message of redemption for sinners. We need to make people disciples, and they need to become those who learn and then follow the Son of God. Not just learning a few facts, storing them up here, so that they can say, oh yes, I know all about that, just as well as I know about these other religions of the world. But no, following Jesus, a disciple is one who follows him, or if you will, a disciple is one who is in a right relationship with the Son of God. There's a way to distinguish between those disciples and followers who are self-made or made by the church, and those that God makes. The ones that God makes disciples through his gospel and through his power are in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to take inventory of our own hearts this morning and ask ourselves, are we a true follower, a true disciple? And the test of being a true disciple is, am I in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. The church is commissioned to make such disciples, calling them by the gospel to trust in Jesus. But we have a second point in our commission, and that is the church is commissioned to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus authorized baptism, and baptism is that which signifies that a person is made into a person who is now in a right relationship with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because baptism is the sacrament of the church which symbolizes and indicates a washing away of our sins and an incorporation into the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus. It's a sign and a seal of cleansing and life in Jesus. And the person who is baptized ultimately recognizes that the work of grace that's done in his or her heart has been done by God. And that person is called then by his very baptism to look away from himself to Jesus Christ for his justification with God. In other words, baptism simply does this. It points to the gospel. It points to the Christ. It doesn't point to the person who is baptized, but it points us to Jesus and says, trust him. Trust his perfect work, his doing, his dying. Trust in him. He's the Savior that the Father sent into this world for us and for our salvation. And baptism, therefore, signifies that the sole ground of our acceptance before God is not what we do, as if baptizing someone does something for them. It doesn't say anything about our experience of baptism. It says that what Christ has done is sufficient, and the promise of God, which says all who believe will be saved, is sufficient, and those who believe will be the children of God. But baptism does initiate a person into the membership of the visible church and places them and identifies them with the body of Christ, the people for whom Christ lived and for whom he died. And baptism is divinely instituted in this place and in other places by our Lord himself. It's not a badge of membership. It's not hell insurance, that's for sure. It's not a free ticket to heaven. Baptism simply is the mark of God that sets aside a people to himself and includes them in the church, the body of Christ, where we are gathered for worship, for edification, and for witness. And those who are baptized are called by their very baptism not to trust in the church, not to trust in the baptism, but to what it points to. It points them to Jesus. Trust in him. But we are to baptize, and those who hear the call of the gospel and are added to the church are added by means of baptism, and then by their confession of faith, or by their being included in the family of believers, they are placed in a right relationship to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church then evangelizes continually. And we begin that work in our homes and in our families, calling our children, our grandchildren, and all that we meet to come into a right relationship with God and a right relationship with the church. And then the Lord Jesus in this passage calls us to go to the whole world. Can you imagine that? What if he were to stand here today and tell this bunch, us, go to the whole world? How many of us would? Me? He told 11 guys standing there on the hillside just as about he was about to go into heaven. Go into the whole world. Put yourself in their shoes. They were called to teach all nations to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. The church, Trinity Presbyterian Church, is commissioned, commanded by the Lord Jesus to bring the gospel to the very ends of the earth. He says in another place, open your eyes. Look out in the fields. Most of us know agriculture in this community well enough. I look at the fields, they're a little bit skimpy right now because all of the harvest is in, or I would assume it is, but it's so beautiful when you see the harvest about ready to be brought in, isn't it? The fields are full, they're lush. We were blessed this year with a harvest of corn, from what I understand, and so many other things. Think of that in your minds on this cold December day. Look at that field in your mind's eye. See the fields that you know are the blessing of God upon you. Jesus is saying in John 4, open your spiritual eyes and look at the harvest field of people. They're ripe for harvest, he says in John 4. What does he mean? Well, he means that people are ready to come into the kingdom and they need to hear the gospel. You and I are called to bring that gospel to them, because people everywhere that we go, even in DeMott, throughout the world, people are lost. And we have seen people in their lostness. We read about it in the newspaper and we think it's out there and it's over there in some other place. But it's right here in our community and even in our families. We need to reach them with the gospel and tell them what Christ has commanded. Give them his word, and through the power of his word and his presence with us, they will come into a right relationship with the word of God. Notice that he says, I am with you even to the end of the age. He has given us his presence and his commitment to be with us. He will not abandon us. He will go with us as we take that message of the Lord Jesus Christ and disseminate it in our community, in our broader community, and throughout the world. Have we looked in our community and have we seen with a spiritual understanding the lostness of people that we are in community with right here, let alone the extended communities where there is a great need for churches that proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has said, teach them to observe all things. Go into all the earth and teach them to observe all things. Teach them the word. Teach them for obedience to the word, that they might be in a right relationship to the word of God. And how does that right relationship to the word of God come about? Through discipling, through baptizing, and through teaching. Could there be any clearer commission, purpose for Trinity Presbyterian Church than this passage of Scripture? We're here not just because we like each other, and it's nice that we like each other. We're going to have some wonderful fellowship together after the service. But our sole purpose for being called a church is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of his church is that we might disciple, that we might baptize, and that we might teach, that those who need to hear about Jesus might hear it from us and be saved. I want to invite you to see what your place is on God's spiritual search and rescue squad for DeMott, for the greater community, and for the world in which we live. Will you be ready to take the message of the power of the gospel to lost sinners? Will you say, yes, Lord, with your help, I will go? Will you go? Let us pray.